faith in 20 minutes. Here we go. You ready? No, I'm just kidding. Please pray with me. Lord, thank you for this day. We thank you for your Holy Trinity. Lord, we thank you for those in the past that have fought to preserve this truth throughout all the ages as the church has wrestled with it. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would speak to our hearts now. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
So here we are in June. What was going on 6 months ago? Christmas, that's right. I don't want to know how many Fridays are left until the next Christmas. Someone posted it on Facebook and I just blew right by it. I don't even want to think about that right now. But it was about 6 months ago that in the course of our lectionary, our church's calendar, we were remembering and celebrating the incarnation, right? Fully God, fully man. Incarnation literally means God in the meat, right? Okay, carne. I know it's a little crass, a little funky right now. God in meat, the redeeming works and life of Jesus Christ. We started with his birth, right? This time 6 months ago, Walmart was a mess. It was crazy. And we were singing, O come, Emmanuel. And in the last 2 weeks, we kind of saw the culmination of the last 6 months with Christ's ascension, sitting at the right hand of God, and the sending of the Holy Spirit with Pentecost. And so, at the end of all this, and some of the point of it all, is that we should see and come to know and love the living God. It's the triune Godhead, the incarnation, right? Christ, a fancy word for the Son, taking on our nature upon himself. The revelation of the life of God, his being, his love, his majesty, and his glory. So the lectionary kind of lets us see his glory lived out in his life. John talks about that in the beginning of his gospel. We read that on Christmas Eve. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. So then, our celebration of Christ's redeeming work is summed up on Trinity Sunday with the celebration of what the whole point of it is, the divine life of God himself, in which we are called to share. We are adopted as children by grace, heirs with God and joint heirs with Christ. So, today we try to use mere words to sum up heavenly truths about God. And that's not easy, quite frankly. Our words do not describe the glories of heaven very well. Even the Apostle John falls short in Revelation. Anybody ever read Revelation? Hey, yeah. God's word says if you read it, you see the blessing. Commend it to you. Okay? So, it talks about the scene in heaven. And he uses words. He uses the language of images and similes and stretches the imagination to the breaking point. And today is Trinity Sunday. And so on Trinity Sunday, like I mentioned before, there's lots of pastors out there right now that are trying to focus on this doctrine of our Christian faith. And it's one of the most inexpressible mysteries of our faith. And we try to do it in about 20 minutes, using words that always fail. So there's lots of attempts to talk about the Trinity. You know, 1 year I tried with the kids, and I whipped an egg out and said, okay, you've got the yolk, you've got the white, you've got the shell, but it's all one thing. Yeah, sort of. It kind of works, but not really. Okay, you can't sum up the truth of God in an egg. Okay. How about water, liquid, steam, and ice, right? Solid liquid gas. Well, maybe that one falls short too. Okay, but it gives us kind of the concept or the idea. Others have said the Trinity is like the same person with three different titles, okay, such as someone that could be a father, a brother, and a son, or a mother, a sister, and a daughter all at the same time. Three different roles as one person. Another one that I read that is my favorite is someone compared it to a strawberry rhubarb pie. Cut into three distinct pieces, yet the filling in the middle all blends together as one. I don't know. Sounds good to me. Hurry up, Pastor. Coffee hour's down there. But with all these things considered, none of these analogies or metaphors or symbols or whatever it is you want to call them is an accurate illustration of the Holy Trinity. The Trinity is three distinct persons in one God. All three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, have been around for all of eternity. All three coexist so that all can be apparent at the same place at the same time. Think about in the season of Epiphany, for instance, okay? Going back again a few months, Jesus is being baptized. We hear the voice of God the Father speaking. God the Son is being baptized in the Jordan, and the Holy Spirit is descending upon him. Remember that one, right? Each of the three are able to talk to each other, distinct persons, like when God the Son prayed to God the Father. Also, the presence of one can be somewhat emphasized over the other, which we saw in the Gospel lesson today. Here we have this symbol of the Trinity and unity at work. Christ speaks to his disciples, telling them that he is going away, and they're to go and to preach the gospel to all nations. The doctrine of the Trinity is really a central doctrine of the Christian faith. Our faith is this, says the Athanasian Creed. Don't worry, we're not going to say it all today. I mean, you've seen it before. It is very long. And it leaves no room for error about what the Trinity is and is not. It's pretty impressive if you actually read it, Google it sometime. Yeah. So it says that we worship one God in Trinity, and that Trinity in unity. The collect that we prayed this morning at the beginning of the service took a little piece of that, and we looked at that. So how many of you are early church history buffs? All right, a few of you. Excellent. Yes. So, if you know something of the early history of the church, you probably know the difficulty that was encountered in clarifying the doctrine of the Trinity. Okay, we had Athanasius, who was exiled 5 times from his diocese in Alexandria in their struggles against the Arians. Okay, the Arians denied that the Son was fully God. And that's why in the Nicene Creed we say of being of one substance with the Father, the very God of very God. And they fought over that. And that was a big argument. And we had the slap heard around the world kind of over that when St. Nicholas had it out with somebody over that. Remember that story by any chance? No, maybe not.
Yes.
Yes, you do. Okay. Fair enough. But they really... It was important to them. That's what I'm trying to get across. It was really important to them because they knew that on this Godship of the Son rested the rest of our faith and our salvation. So the Arian solution, the Arian heresy, is that Jesus is God-like or God-light. As it were, but not very God, not true God, not holy God, as in W-H-O-L-L-Y, which would have meant a very different Christianity for us. If Jesus is not really God, he's not our Savior. Think about that for a minute. That kind of gets right to the core and the foundation of this. If Christ is not God, then his death would not have been sufficient to pay for our sins. So the Trinity tells us of our relation to the Father as children. There's one world religion that sees deity as a disembodied cosmic force behind everything. And there's another world religion that sees God as an angry master. But we know God as Father, Christ as brother, and from which we can understand fatherhood and brotherhood. We are sealed in the Holy Spirit, who marks us as his, and who enables us to live as God would have had us live. So the Creed of Athanasius says, we worship one God in Trinity, and the Trinity in unity, three persons and one God. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. It's not right, right? I hope that's running through your head. But what does that mean beyond sort of this sheer mystification? So Augustine asks us to consider the life of the human soul, God's image. The soul remembers, it knows, it loves these three activities, yet they are the activity of one soul. In us, these personal activities are in perfect unity, and our reason and our love do not coincide. God is the perfect unity of personal activity. So God is, he knows, he loves. And with him, these three are one. So Father, Word, and Spirit, three persons and one God, all equally defined, all absolutely God, one nature, one reality. God is not three beings or three schizophrenic personalities, as one person says. God is one. So you get the idea. How many of you have already flatlined? I'm sorry. I might if I was in your position. A complex God who is not easily described in this nature. Each of the three persons of our one God has three attributes, has different attributes, but the three work together as one. So Paul tells us in Romans 5 about how God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit gave us hope. Paul tells us there how we are justified with God the Father by faith. Justified means made in alignment with. Okay? Anybody ever think of sort of the margins on a computer or a typewriter or something like that? When I started typing papers for high school, I was using a real ink typewriter. Always trying to get it justified correctly was a major problem for me. I don't know how many times I retyped. It doesn't matter. But when we are justified with God, we're brought into alignment and made right with God and justified by faith. We are justified by faith through God the Son. God the Son acts as the intercessor for us with God the Father. The intercessor, sort of the intermediary in many ways. It is through Christ's grace that we are able to stand before God the Father, being justified. It is through the Holy Spirit now that this grace is applied into our lives. Yet these three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, are one. So the Trinity is one of the hardest things to explain and understand in Christian doctrine, but despite this fact, we recite a creed every week that talks about the Trinity. One thing we certainly can say and do is praise God, even when we do not understand him or understand everything about him. We praise God that he's a loving Father and the one true, holy, and living God, where all other gods are mere idols. As for God the Son, we can praise him for his obedience to live as a servant and to suffer and die on the cross to be our Savior. We can praise him for conquering the grave by rising from the dead. We can praise him that he made eternal life with God the Father even possible. And as for God the Holy Spirit, we can praise him because his presence with us never ends. He is the one who reveals the truth of the Word of God to us so that we not only become followers of Christ, but we grow and we become faithful witnesses empowered to do what the Lord has asked us to do. Think about Psalm 8. Right? This is why David could write such a powerful message. And we said this together this morning. We even perhaps prayed this together this morning. As David gazed out into the vast universe with its celestial bodies, he couldn't help but have a sense of awe and wonder at who God is. Have you ever done that? Go outside at night and just look up and go, wow. It's a mystery. It's huge. It's way bigger than me. I don't understand it all. But I know what God made it. It's simply amazing. So So this hymn of praise to God in Psalm 8 is to God as the good creator, the ruler, the sustainer of everything in heaven, on earth, in the sea. It's a song of thanksgiving that no matter how small we are in comparison to all that God has created, the Father is always mindful of us and cares for us. So David couldn't help but lift up this song of praise. He was pondering the fact that instead of giving us the judgment that our sins deserve, he gives us love and care. Despite the fall of humanity, he still blesses us by appointing us as governors over all of his creation to maintain its order and shine God's light on it. So that's why we can join with the psalmist in crying, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." And that is why we praise God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, three in one. So I submit to us that we might carefully consider this and humbly accept this biblical truth and join with all Christians in praising our God, the Trinity, three in one. Now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God, be ascribed as is most justly due all might, majesty, dominion, power, honor, and glory, both now and forever. Amen.